So let us turn to that portion of God's Word in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. And as the Word of God is opened before you, let us seek the Lord's blessing. O Lord our God, we give Thee thanks that Thou art alive. Thou art the true and the living God. We give Thee thanks that this is a Word that lives and causes life. We pray that this might become alive to us. This portion of Thy Word would come and be impressed upon our hearts and give us that gift of faith and repentance. Bless, Lord, every soul here. Help us, Lord, to receive this as bread from heaven. And Lord, may we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. We ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. In this portion of God's Word that is so familiar to so many of us, we see our Lord Jesus Christ showing that matchless care and compassion to souls. He is in a Gentile country. He has been seeking to teach His disciples the truth that no person who hears the gospel or has access to it is off limits to the gospel, to the message of salvation that is promised to sinners. As religious Jews, the disciples would have been raised up to consider Gentiles off limits. God would not save them. God is not for them. They are not for God. They would have been taught that they should have no contact with someone who was not a Jew. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ sought to show these men to understand that He came into the world to save not only the Jew, but the Gentile also. He came to save His people who are from every corner of the earth, wherever they might be found. And to drive this home to them, the Lord Jesus Christ took them into a predominantly Gentile area. In the previous chapter, He has already healed this daughter of a Canaanite woman. Then He healed a man who was deaf and who had a speech impediment. All of these things pointing to Him being the Savior. And as soon as that miracle is accomplished, the Lord Jesus Christ began to teach the people from the Word of God. And when this passage opens, the Lord Jesus Christ has been teaching His multitude for 3 days. Imagine following someone for 3 days. Not having access to your own home. You don't go back to your home. You're just following someone, being taught by someone. And when He finished what He had to say to them, the Lord is ready to send the multitude away. And He acknowledges the fact, He accepts the fact that the people have no food. He can't send them away. He can't send them away fasting. They will faint in the way. If He does, He knows that they will do that. They are hungry already. It says they have nothing to eat. They have nothing to eat. So what the Lord Jesus Christ does, it is what He has done before. He's done this previously, as He administered, it is recorded in Mark chapter 6, of the feeding of so many people, thousands of people, through that wonderful miracle that He performed. My friends, the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ shows to us that He is the only Savior, that there is no one like Him, and that He is not merely a Savior who is detached from us, but He is a Savior who has compassion and care. It teaches us that He cares about the spiritual side of our life as well as our physical side. But we are not in this world forever, my friends. We are not to simply live thinking about what we wear and how we are health-wise and where we live and all of those kinds of things. But what should concern every one of us is what concerned the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost to heaven. Lost to eternity. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, through these miracles, keeps teaching that there is a spiritual side to us. Don't forget that, friends. And so let us look at these verses this morning as we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we think of these people who have nothing to eat. And one of the things that we notice is the hunger, that many are hungry. Many hunger. And there's a spiritual lesson in this. These people have been with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 days. They have heard Him preaching wonderful things. Imagine hearing Jesus Christ preach. Now the teaching has ended. And the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to dismiss the service, as it were, and send them away. He knows that the people have used up all their food and have nothing to eat. If they were to go back home, there's nothing to eat. According to verse 3, some of the people have traveled a long distance to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have come a long way to get here, but did you walk it? Are you expected to go back home walking? I don't think so. None of us here will be walking home. But these people were to travel on foot. These people have a common human need. And they could not provide that for themselves then. They had used all their resources. They can't help themselves. Maybe there is a situation in your life. It is out of control now. It is out of your hand. You cannot control it. This is the situation. Where would they find food? Nowhere. They have nothing to eat. We all find ourselves in the same predicament. Not merely that you might be hungry this morning. Maybe you did not have breakfast this morning. You may be hungry right now. And yes, physically we do become hungry. And you smell the food and it makes you more hungry. But yes, there is that material need, the physical need. And my friends, if the preaching of the gospel, if the Christian message only meets the stomachs of people, if it meets the need of the social aspects of life and the flesh, it is not enough. This is not what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here. Here is a spiritual lesson for us. That the Lord Jesus Christ cares. He has compassion. He brings what we need to our soul and to our life. Do you know the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus Christ, or God, does this, does show His care again and again. When the children of Israel lacked food and water as they journeyed through the wilderness, He provided for them as they cried to God. There are many other instances. David faced hunger. The Lord provided for him. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, He knew hunger and thirst. He knew poverty. Our Lord Jesus Christ experienced unimaginable pain and suffering when He suffered especially for us upon the cross. We know that this world is a world full of suffering. Most of us here, if not all of us, are familiar with some form of agony, of physical pain. Most know the uncertainty and problems that come with financial stress and all sorts of other things. We are living in a world that is, in every way, it is broken. There's hurt, deep hurt in all places. What's the source of it? Why is that? The Scripture says that the physical aspect of things has a spiritual source. The problem is a spiritual one. We have forsaken God. There's that wall of separation between us. There's a gulf between us and God. What has happened Sin has entered in. And so what should we do? What man can do? Did they go asking the Lord Jesus Christ for bread? No, it was Jesus Christ who saw. It is Christ who must come in to this world. We read the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2 and verses 22 and 23 of the state of the world. He says, do you want to know what the world is like? This is how it is. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? What has he got? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. He says, this is the case. Trouble on every hand. You work and you work and you labor. You gain, but at the end of the day, is our heart and life full of happiness and joy? Apart from God, it is a sad world in which we live in. Anything good that is being done, it is because of God's mercy and grace. We understand these things. Here's a wonderful picture of mankind, needy, hungry. And yet we also see a Savior who sees the need, who speaks of it. And so the second thing I want to say is that Christ cares. We see of his compassion, not just he speaks of it. I have compassion on the multitude. How wonderful it is. These are words of love. But he doesn't just say it, but he acts upon it. And ultimately, what he does is the demonstration of his love is shown upon the cross. When he dies instead of sinners, instead of his people, he bears their sin upon himself. And then his Father pours all of his wrath upon his Son. Can you understand that? Can you fathom that? There you see the anger of God being poured upon his Son on the cross. But then you see their love also, of the love of Christ, that he willingly gives himself. And here is a taster of it. These people see something of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ before he demonstrates it so fully upon the cross by seeing their need, saying those words, I have compassion on the multitude, and then demonstrating it by dividing the food that is given, and they are filled. They are drooping. They are dropping. They are fainting because of hunger. They have nothing to eat. And yet the Lord provides. My friends, what is your experience this morning? Are you being provided for by yourself, by your own hand? You're seeking, striving to fix things, to provide, to get things. My friends, your source must be the Lord. Your source of blessing must be God. And it begins as you look to Jesus Christ, who says, I have compassion on them. It says in verse 2, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. That means that my heart goes out to them. I have compassion for them. What does compassion mean? Compassion is, as dictionary puts it, sympathy coupled with a desire to help. Sympathy coupled with a desire to help. He was moved by their need, and he decided to do something about it. They didn't decide to do something about it. He decided to do something about it. 5 times in the Gospels, it is recorded that the Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. It's not just that he just had a little feeling in his heart. He was moved. It's a strong term that is used. Have you been moved with compassion? It's Christ. He moved. The heart of Christ, the Son of God, was moved with compassion. That's what the gospel writers speak of about him. In this passage, it is not just the gospel writers writing about it, but it's the words of Christ. I have compassion on the multitude. Have you heard anybody saying this? Have you seen anybody fulfilling what they say? He's telling his disciples that he sees the need. And he's determined to do something about it. They have nothing to eat. we must praise God that it is God who cares. Here is Christ who cares. We read in the first Peter, the first letter of the Apostle Peter, he says this in chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him. This is what we ought to do. All your cares, all your concerns, all your anxious thoughts, all the burdens that you are under. What do you do? Do you talk to your friends? Do you talk to your loved ones? Do you talk to your colleagues? Do you store it all up and become bitter and angry about the world that you're living in and blame it on people? The Lord says, no, this is what you must do. And this is what a Christian does. As they are being saved, they come with all their burden of sin. They leave it at the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word is casting all your care upon him. And then it says, for he careth for you. That word careth, it doesn't mean anxious thoughts. It means the words of sympathy. It's the word of knowledge that he knows. He cares. He sympathizes. He provides. And that word especially, careth, in the original, it gives you the idea of taking an interest in someone. He is the one who first takes interest. He is the one who first loves. Our Lord is interested, my friends, in sinners, in our life, in what affects us. And this kind of concern and compassion can be seen throughout the pages of the Bible. People who say, oh, God does not care, say to me that they have not read the Bible. They have not read the Gospels. The Scripture says to us again and again, and it demonstrates to us that we have a Christ, we have a Savior who cares. Who among us would have cared for a needy people like Israel? Who amongst us would have thought of them? Do you think of others? Do you think of other nations? Do you think of other needs that are there out there in the world? Yet God cares. The Lord cares. All that they were doing, the nation of Israel, was griping and complaining and saying how awful their state was under the Roman rule. Still, God cared about them. Still, the Lord sent the Messiah to them. He gave them food and water. He was ever present with them. He subdued their enemies. He promised miracle after miracle, and he performed it in their sight. Who would have cared about a slave named Hagar and her son? God cared. He came to her personally and provided all the need that she had. She needed to survive in that wilderness, and the Lord provided for her and saved her. Who would have cared about a Gentile widow and her son who were starving to death? God cared. And God sent a man of God to her, and he blessed her. That was Elijah. Hundreds of people were dying every day in Israel while the Lord Jesus Christ was there. But we see him going into homes. We see him touching people's lives. Who would have cared if a man named Lazarus? Who would have cared if a little girl, a 12-year-old girl, or only the one and only son of a poor widow had died? Who would have cared? Our Lord Jesus Christ cared. And he raised them all from the dead. Who would have cared if a bunch of God-rejecting, Christ-hating sinners died and went to hell? Who would have cared? God cared. And so he sent his son, his only begotten son, into this world. He cared, and he cares, and he will continue to care. He willingly took our place. Condemned he stood. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The prophet writes 700 or more than 700 years before the coming of Jesus, and he is speaking in present tense and at times past tense, showing it is as good as done. It's as good as done. My friends, here and in all of the Scripture, we read of a Savior who cares. And then think about it. Finally, he shows compassion. He says he has compassion. And what we find, then he performs the miracle. He does it. He says it, then he does it. He explains the situation to the disciples. And then he begins to ask them questions. In verse 5. And he asked them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. Do you see, again, this is his compassion. He says, sit down. He could have just said, carry on standing. But he doesn't do that. Do you see the detail to which the Scripture reveals the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ to us? Simple things. But they're real things. They're practical things. Imagine he kept them all standing all that time. But no. He says, sit down on the ground. And then he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave it to his disciples to set before them. Somebody said to me, where do you find any command in the Bible to give thanks before your meal? Well, here is the wonderful practice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created the loaf, yet gives thanks to God. And then breaks it and gives it to his disciples to set before them. And he did set them before the, or and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. So having declared his desire to feed the multitude, saying that, yes, I have compassion on them. In verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ is immediately met with doubt. There are people who are filled with doubts. No, God doesn't mean it. He's not sincere about it. He says he loves sinners. But is he sincere in his love for me? Do you doubt God, my friends? It would be the most blasphemous thing to doubt God. And maybe you're here this morning and you're so full of concerns and doubts, and you're lacking assurance, and you wonder, are you one of God's people? I say to you, do not doubt any longer. Look to Christ, who has compassion upon sinners. Look to him, my friends. Go to him. He knows you. Did he not make you? He knows you. He knows all the details. He knows you better than yourself. The Lord had already shown the disciples before of the feeding of the 5,000 beside women and children. He had already fed thousands upon thousands of people, and they still were doubting. It says in verse 4, and his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? How can we satisfy them? We can't satisfy all of these people, all of these thousands. And then in verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ asked them the same question he had asked before. He repeats it again. How many loaves have ye? He says. In the first miracle, in chapter 6, if you take time later on this afternoon to read it, they went into the crowd to see how much food was available. In this miracle, the disciples are called. He calls on them to give up the very little that they have. There's a change here. As he did the first time, he takes the small amount of food that was available. He thanks God for it. He then broke it and gave it to his men, and they give to the crowd. Just as he did the first time. The loaves, the fishes, they were multiplied. Imagine that. He kept breaking, and he kept passing on. Again, in that very thing, there is compassion seen. He could have just broken it all up and just left it at a corner. Come and get it yourself. He doesn't do that. He keeps breaking, giving it. How tiring that would be to feed thousands. Have you fed thousands? Don't you get tired, you ladies, just feeding your own little family? You're just feeding two of them, three of them, including your husband. And isn't it tiring? And then you think about the grace and the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ continually giving and giving. Do you think Christ has stopped in giving and blessing? No, my friends. This is why the Word of God is alive. This is why the Word of God is for us today, to show us that Christ is the same. He has not changed at all. You are maybe empty this morning. You are without any hope or God in this world. But today, seek the Lord. Today, go to Him. He will also feed you. And then it's finished. It's verse 8, it says, so they did eat and were filled. They had enough. They were filled with that little food that the Lord Jesus Christ miraculously fed them. And then there was leftover. Imagine that. This is God's work, my friends. This is God's work, that there's always enough and there is plenty still, plenty to bless others. And it says that they collected seven baskets full in verse 8. These baskets were different from the previous baskets. It's a different word that is used. The baskets that are mentioned in chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000, they're actually small baskets. It's for one person. It's like we would say it is your lunchbox. It's just for you. But this is something else. This is a kind of basket, this exact word that is used, when the Apostle Paul was put in a basket and then brought down to escape. That's the kind of a basket. It's a basket that could carry people in. Now, I don't know why they had it there, but this is what they had. They had been carrying things in these baskets, great baskets. And these great baskets were filled. These baskets that could hold a man were filled with food. There are lessons, so many lessons in these words. Simple truths, but they are words that would change your life. If, my friends, you enter into it, if you seek the Lord, trust in the same Savior. This miracle reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would say this, is a universal Savior. Let me tell you what it means. It doesn't mean that He saves everybody, but it means He saves anybody. He saves anybody. He fed these 5,000 in chapter 6, and then these great multitude in chapter 8. The Lord has come into that region when it is mostly Gentile. And He wants His disciples to know that He came to save people from every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ came as the Jewish Messiah, but He came knowing the Jews would reject Him. But ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to die on the cross for the sin of His people. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give His life for whosoever would trust in Him for salvation. He is the only Savior, my friends. So do not shut yourself out and say, no, He didn't come for me. But as you trust in Him, then you would know. This miracle also reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is more than sufficient to meet the needs that exist in His people's lives. My friends, you might say, it is impossible. This issue, this matter in my life, in my heart, this sin, this thing that is keeping me back, it is so great. My family situation, my sin situation, my world situation, my health situation. My friends, nothing can stop the work of God. Seek Him then. This reminds us of the sufficiency of Christ. These people had nothing to eat. They had no means to eat. They had no food. But the Lord provided. It reminds us that He has all that we need for the journey home. Where are you going? Where is your home? Is your home the grave? No, we sing, don't we, that our home is not the grave. But our home is in heaven. So the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, He provides in this life for all that we need. But my friends, there have been many Christians, and even today, Christians who are hungry. Christians who are perishing in prisons. Christians who are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. The disciples themselves, all except John, we believe they were martyred. But my friends, spiritually, the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient for them. He provided everything. And so the Christian says, I am satisfied. I am full because I have my sins forgiven. I have peace with God and that assured hope of heaven. My friends, this is what the Lord provides for us, for our journey home. When the people were filled, the Lord Jesus had His men collect the remnants of the meal and He sent the people away. And all of these things are teaching you great lessons. You may think, I will not last. I will not be able to sustain myself. I will not be able to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would not. But it doesn't depend on you. Salvation does not depend on you. It is the Lord who saves. It is the Lord who keeps. It is the Lord who fulfills these things. My friends, here are reminders again and again. Here are reminders for people with little faith. We don't have any food to feed all this multitude. Oh, my friend, you are maybe with little faith. You are with great doubts, but little faith. Here were disciples, and the Lord answered them. Is the Lord speaking to you this morning? Has the Lord spoken and answered the doubts and shown you that there is a way through this mountain that is before you? That the Lord is there in the valley of the shadow of death with you. How many times have you sought the Lord? Have you ever sought the Lord? If a sinner seeks the Lord, they will find the Lord because He has promised. It reminds us that God is not an ungenerous God. He is not a stingy God. He is not a God whose fists are like this and He will not give. No, He has open hands to bless. He proves that more than enough for those people. And it is His desire to give sinners like us more than enough as well. Our God is a God of the more. There is still more room, He says in His parable. There is still more, my friends, more. It teaches us all of these things and so much more. So, my friends, let us look to the Savior then. Let us be encouraged this morning. I don't know what challenges you, but the greatest challenge we have is our own heart. The greatest thing that we must bring to God is not our physical need, but our own soul before the Lord. So, my friends, be encouraged this morning. And seek the Lord who is so full of compassion and know Him who cares. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we look to Thee, the God of all grace, and we pray that Thou wouldst show and reveal Thy compassion to us, everyone, and we shall give Thee all the glory, for we ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us conclude by singing.